I want to bring a word this morning titled, Walking in the Spirit. Walking in, not ahead of and not behind, but in, everybody say in, the Spirit. I want to read first Jeremiah 3:15. God said he would give you pastors or shepherds according to his heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Okay? There's a difference between knowledge and understanding. You can have all the knowledge of the word, but without understanding, it does you no good. Okay? You have to have understanding. And God's promised to give you shepherds or leaders to bring forth understanding to the flock. Amen? All right, so go to Colossians 1:9, or you can read it on the screen. Now, this is Paul. He's going to pray this, and I'm going to pray this, okay? It's always good to follow an apostolic prayer, all right? For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So you have to be filled not just with knowledge. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You have to have understanding, okay? So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about this morning. How many in here are classic muscle car people? Any classic muscle car people? Okay, I'm one of them. So let's say you win a 70 Chevelle Supersport with a 454 horsepower LS6, top of the line, motor that produces 450 horsepower from the factory. But some experts will say more like 500. I think more like 500. The most horsepower of any muscle car produced in that era. So you win your dream car, right? And they deliver it to your house and give you the keys. You have knowledge of this car. This is your dream car. You know the specs. You know the motor. You know the performance of it. And they give you the keys, and you rush off to the DMV, and you get your title transferred. You get your plates, your registration, and your sticker, right? You rush back home. You put the plates and sticker on. You jump in the driver's seat. You start it, and you start giving it some gas. And, I mean, you put the pedal to the metal to hear this thing, right? And you're so excited to take off in it, right? But you notice something between the seat. It's this odd-looking lever that has 1, 2, 3, 4, and an R on it. And you're like, what is that? Is that a manual transmission or a stick shift? How many know how to drive a manual transmission or stick shift? Quite a few. But let's say you don't know how to drive it. How many don't know how to drive one? Okay. I'd encourage you to practice to learn that, because it may come in handy somewhere down the road if there's an emergency and you have to drive somebody somewhere and it's a stick shift. So you're in that car revving it. Sounds great, but you're going nowhere. You've got all that power, you've got all that knowledge, you know what it can do, but you can't shift through the gears. That's understanding. Okay? So you can have all the Bible knowledge and know all the verses, but without how to shift through the word, you're going to go nowhere. Amen? All right. So what is understanding? It is comprehending, interpreting, and modeling information, ideas, or situations to gain insight. Okay? Comprehending, interpreting, and modeling information, ideas, or situations to gain insight. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? So everything is by faith. Okay? Everything is by faith. Now, Galatians 5:25 says this. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay? So, you live in the Spirit, and you have the choice to walk in the flesh or the Spirit. Okay? So, what does it really mean to walk in the Spirit? Now, if you've been raised in church or been in the church for a while, you've heard preachers or ministers preach on it or teach on it. And some of the examples, well, you walk in the Word, brother, right? Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. This is a natural book. Okay, can everybody see this Bible? It's got a natural binding. It's got natural pages, okay? And there's natural ink in there. Now, when I first got saved, I wanted the Word so much that I started eating a chapter a day, literally. Don't recommend you do that, because I think after the second day, a thought came into my mind. I'm probably going to get ink poisoning, so I better stop. Okay, but I wanted the Word so much that I started eating it naturally. All right, so this is a natural book, binder, pages, ink. The words in this book are not natural. They are supernatural. Okay? They're spiritual. Now go to Genesis. Hold on a second. So the Word... got a little ahead of myself, and they'll say the fruit of the Spirit is walking in the Spirit. Okay? True. And then they'll say, well, there's gifts of the Spirit, brother. Walking in the gifts of the Spirit is walking in the Spirit. Those are all correct. But is there something deeper to walking in the Spirit? Let's find out. Now go to Genesis Chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. You have to start in the beginning. Okay? You're going to make your case. All right, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. Everybody say moved. It's an important word. Some translations say hovered. Some say brooded. But I like the King James, he moved. Okay? There was movement taking place. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Everything is spiritual. I didn't get one amen. Everything is spiritual. I said everything is spiritual. The Spirit of God is moving. He's moving. He's moving. Now, if you jump down to verses 26 and 28, it says, let us, so there's a plurality speaking here, make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing. Can you go to 27 on that screen? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Plural. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What image is God? So what image here taking place was God creating man and woman in? Well, you guys know your Bible a little bit. John 4:24. God is a spirit. I said everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. This is why you have to get this right here. Because most of the church lives in the natural to the spiritual instead of the spiritual to the natural. All right? So God creates man, male and female, in his own image, spirit first. I said spirit first. Okay. Now remember how the Bible is not written in chapter and verse. It's one continual scroll of each book. But over the centuries, they've divided into chapters and verses. Okay, so when you're reading it, you have to keep in mind it's a continual flowing of what you're reading. It's not broken up. However, let's go to chapter 2 now. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 1, starting, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, everybody say seventh day. I like the seventh day. God ended all his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created, okay, created and made. Now, pay attention, okay? Look at verse 7 of Genesis. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed, everybody say formed, man of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Created and formed are two different words. Did you get that? Created and formed are two different words. Man is created here in Genesis 1, in the image of God in spirit, but he's not formed until chapter 2. That's why you have to understand you're a spirit being, number one. You're not a natural being. And if you get that right there, you will walk in the spirit. Because you now have understanding that you are a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. Makes all the difference. Most of the church lives and operates in a body with their spirit, and they don't go anywhere in their walk. They're constantly crying out to God, God, would you please help me? God, would you please do this? God, would you please do that? Where someone who understands that they have a spirit and now they can have dominion and subdue the earth begins to walk and command things to happen like Jesus did, and things happen. Didn't Jesus say, the things that I've done, you'll do in greater things? Well, did he? Well, did he say that? If you understand you are a spirit created first, you'll do the things that Jesus did. You won't be limited by the natural and the circumstances and whining and crying to God every time something happens, or getting on the phone or a prayer app and say, would you pray for me for this or that? Or help me, God, help me. No, you begin to move in dominion and subdue and do the things that Jesus did. Not that you don't need prayer times. I'm not saying that. Yeah, you do, and I need prayer times, and it's important. But when you get this revelation, man, you'll need less and less and less, and you'll start walking, not as a child anymore, not as an infant anymore, as a son and daughter of the Most High. Hallelujah. Understanding. Okay. Now let's go to verses 21 through 24, Genesis. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God he had taken from man made he a woman. There you have male and female created he them. And brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's what Paul says. Okay? He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Okay? Now, Hebrews 12:9. Are you understanding that you were created a spirit first? And everything, therefore, is spiritual. Oh, brother, you're getting a little bit too heavenly minded to be any earthly good right now. Praise God. Thank you for the compliment. I don't want to be earthly, intellectually minded anymore. I want to be spiritually minded. How about you? If you think different, you'll be different. As a man or woman thinks in their heart, so that will they be. And you have the mind of who? Paul says, be renewed, catch this, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, brother, you lost your mind. No, I've lost your mind. Somebody said that to you, you've lost your mind. No, I've lost your mind. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, natural, and we gave them reverence. Now listen. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So God the Father is the Father of what? Flesh? Spirits. Everything is spiritual. First Corinthians 14 and verse 49, 1 Corinthians 14, or I'm sorry, 1549. As we have borne the image of the earthly, I'm going to prophesy right now, okay? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Do you know what was happening this morning in the service? Did you perceive what was happening? The image of the heavenly was manifesting. I said the image of the heavenly was manifesting. I said the image of the heavenly was manifesting. That's where we're called to live in. Not the natural. The supernatural. Now listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. This is so good. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you, remember, created and formed, before I formed you in the belly or stomach, I knew you. How did God know Jeremiah before he was formed in his mother's womb? He was created in the spirit first, the prophet. There it is. It's not my word. And before you came forth out of the womb, I already sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations. I love God's word. Man, I really love God's word. He's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness out of his word. I don't care for flaky visions or dreams or so-called revelations. I just care about the word. I just want the word. I'll take the revelations and the dreams that confirm the word, but that's the only time I'll take them. Hallelujah. Everything is in the word. Because why? Are they natural words? No. They're spiritual words. Hallelujah. All right. Colossians 1:15. It just gets better. God's word always just gets better. Okay. It's talking about Jesus now. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. So Jesus is the image of the invisible. Everybody say invisible. God. Remember that word invisible or spirit, whatever you prefer. Now go to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 28. Give you the background here. Jesus goes into the synagogue. They bring him the scroll of Isaiah, which had no chapters and verses, but for our sake, Isaiah 61 particularly. And Jesus begins to read it, and they begin to get convicted. And then he says this, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And now they go berserk. Because he's confronting their religious hypocrisy tradition. And verse 28 says, and all they in the synagogue, now I've never had this happen to me, brother, yet. Maybe a few, but it's possible and might. Okay, it's possible. All things are possible. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. They were pretty ticked off at Jesus' preaching. Oh, well. Whatever. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built. So they were built, the city was built on a cliff. That they might cast him down or over. They wanted to throw Jesus over the cliff for his preaching. Thank God there's no cliffs around here, bro. Might get thrown under the bus, but. So the people rise up. Imagine all the people in here. They rise up. They grab Jesus. I mean, how's Jesus going to get away from a crowd like that? He's not. Okay? And they go to throw him over the cliff. Now watch this. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Are you kidding me? It doesn't say he had to shove and muscle his way to get away from them, to get out and get around them. It says he, passing through them, went his way. 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 How did Jesus do that? He is the image of the what? Invisible God. I'm talking about walking deep in the Spirit, where the supernatural happens. Most in the church won't get it. I hope you get it today and walk in it, because Jesus walked in it. Hallelujah. You got to go deeper walking in the Spirit. Psalm 77, verse 19. I told you it's going to get better. Did you? You didn't believe me, did you? Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Footsteps are not known. Footsteps are not known. Until today. Okay, you ready? You ready for this? Are you ready for this? Okay, you asked for it. Mark chapter 6, verses 45, starting through 51. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So Jesus sends his disciples in the boat to go to the other side while he's sending the people away, and then he goes off to pray. Okay? So when he's done praying, he looks out and he sees this. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch of the night, maybe 3 to 4 p.m. in the morning. He comes unto them walking upon the sea. Uh-oh. His footsteps are now going to be known. And would have passed by them. So he's just not walking out from the land on the water. Now watch this. He's moving. He's hovering. He's brooding over the face of the waters. Genesis 1, 2. And it says, bro, he would have passed by them. What's up? So Jesus, he's just going to walk to the other side where he told them to go. But this is what happens. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. Now, if you had spent time with Jesus, which they did, if he's walking and passing, don't you think you'd probably recognize Jesus? Well, don't you think so? Wouldn't you think you would recognize the rabbi as he's walking by? I mean, he's passing them by, right? But they don't. They think it's a... What's happening here? Is Jesus moving in a different form? Because, I'm just asking the question, he is now lighter than water. And they don't recognize him. They think it's a spirit. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was transfigured before their face and became exceeding white and shining? That was a different form. Now stay with me. Come on. A lot of you have watched supernatural movies that weren't godly. You've seen all kind of paranormal, phenomenal stuff with ghosts and stuff like that. But the minute somebody in the church starts talking about the supernatural, the church freaks out. Maybe he was levitating upon the waters. I don't know. But what I do know, that he naturally became lighter than the water that he was walking upon. And I do know they cried out and thought it was a spirit. Let's keep going. Okay? Don't check out right now because the best part's coming. I'm talking about walking, you hear me? In the spirit. I'm not talking about walking in the natural. You're a spirit being, so start walking in the spirit. You know why? Because these occultists are walking in the spirit and doing all kinds of spiritual phenomenon and pulling people into their group, where the church should be leading the example of the way walking in the spirit, because the enemy knows what's going on and he's stealing it. I don't know if you're hearing me this morning. That's why young people run into Satanism and witchcraft and the occult. Because they see a demonstration of the supernatural, spiritual phenomenon taking place. And go into the church and see a bunch of fleshly church people fighting, arguing, complaining, and whining. I'm glad there's no heels here, brother. I'm not being hard on you or judgmental. I'm talking about the whole church, okay? I'm not talking about our church. This church believes in the supernatural. Has anybody seen supernatural things happen in this church? Okay? I've had plenty of encounters with angels in this church, good and evil. Hallelujah. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he, come on, he went up into the ship now. And the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed and in themselves and beyond measure and wonder. Funny, they didn't wonder when he was doing the miracles and raising the dead and healing the sick, but, you know, we're in trouble, Jesus. Dude, have I been with you so long you don't know your authority already? Why didn't you calm the sea? Why didn't you get out of the boat? I said another form, right? Now go to Mark 16 and verse 12. Now I'm going to have to go from Mark to Luke because Mark doesn't get all the information that you need to understand this, but let's just read out of Mark here because you have to have the mouth of two or three witnesses for every word to be confirmed. After that, he appeared in another form. Everybody say another form. Okay. As they walked and went into the country. So two of his disciples. Now, let's pick it up in Luke. Is anybody bored yet? No, you can be honest. Anybody bored? Because I'm not. If everybody's bored, I wouldn't care because I'm not bored. I'm like, okay, keep going, bro. I got nothing to do with this. This is a gift. I was never smart in school, okay? I wasn't. I know it's not me. I'm convinced it's not me. I know it's not. Anything you get by the Spirit is from the Spirit, from the gift. Anything you don't, it's from the flesh, so just let it fall to the ground. Okay? I don't want to even be up here unless the Spirit's going to speak. Okay. Now, here we'll pick up the story. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, whatever that is. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near. So they're walking and talking about the word, and the word draws near, Jesus. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him because he was in another form. What form that is? I don't know. I don't think it was an IS 1099. I don't know what form it was. I'm talking about walking in the supernatural. So something supernatural was happening. If you ever get out of the natural into the spiritual, you will appear in a different form to people. That's not the same man I know. It's not the same woman I know. Okay. Now, let's go to verse 30 and 31 of Luke. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, communion. Okay, verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. everything is spiritual. How'd you like to be at a party at the table and say, oh, you know what? I forgot I had an appointment. I'm out of here. And you vanish. I've heard enough stories to believe. You can't, there's not enough unbelieving here to convince me otherwise. Hallelujah. You're a spirit being in a natural body. You're called to do supernatural things in the spirit, to be a sign and a wonder to a lost world that God is with you and in you. No more lip service. Demonstration. Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, knowledge. I came to you in understanding and demonstration and power of the Spirit. Put that 70 Chevelle in gear and burn some rubber. Okay, here we go. John chapter 20 and verse 19. This is after the resurrection. The disciples are in a room. They're afraid. Their rabbi has been taken. They're not quite convinced that he's risen, because Mary Magdalene, this is good about Mary. I like Mary a lot. You know why I like Mary Magdalene a lot? Because she sat at Jesus' feet and waited till he spoke, as long as it took. She's the first one to the tomb. It's empty. She starts weeping. Here come the mighty apostles, Peter and John. And Peter outruns John to the tomb. Or no, I'm sorry. John outruns Peter to the tomb. Peter must have been a slowpoke. But when John gets to the tomb, he looks in and he doesn't go in. Peter, you know who Peter is, he goes right in. I'm going to check this out, man. Some bros took my bro. I'm going to check it out. And left some evidence I can track him down and take a sword and cut off their ear. He didn't say that, but so he's in there looking around. He's like, what the heck? Somebody must have taken him. So here come the mighty apostles, Peter and John, right? Leaders of the church, moving in miracles, signs, wonders. And they leave. And who stays? Mary. Woman, you got an edge. You really do. You got a sensitivity that men really don't have. You know, my wife knows things before, a couple of days before I get it. Actually, she didn't want me to say this, but I'm going to say it. She was on a fast, and she got the revelation from Genesis 1-2 that everything's spiritual. Was that an instrument that just played?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Now, all right, hold that thought. That's wild. I don't know how many of you know David Hogan. He was here a few times, Jeff and Brendan Omwell. They were at their church. They were here. He did this. He gave this testimony. He was at a church, and the worship got done, and everybody wanted to eat in the kitchen. And as he's in the kitchen, the worship starts and nobody's up in the worship platform. The instruments are playing by themselves. Dude, I'm telling you, everything is spiritual. That's a frequency or something hitting an instrument. It's confirmation. Whew. I hope Lauren is seeing that, hearing that. All right, so the instruments are playing by themselves. And he's supposed to get up and preach. And he turns and says to the worship leader, I'm not touching that. I'm going to go back to eating. You guys deal with that. What would it be like to come into worship one Sunday morning and see the instruments playing by themselves? Because he makes his angels what? Spirits. How many of you would remain in the church? I'm just curious. Raise your hand. I didn't see every hand go up. That's okay. I'm going to pray for you at the end. Dude, I would not leave until it stopped. You know what? I'm going to prophesy it's going to happen. Do you know that King David on his harp, we had the frequency of what, 432 megahertz, something like that, our music today? He played in a different frequency. It was 444. I have a tuning fork at home that's a 444. And when he played, all kinds of supernatural things happened because he was playing on heaven's frequency. It was a different frequency. He had worship 24/7 in the tent going on in that frequency. You tap into God's spiritual frequency, you're going to see and hear all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah. Okay. I think I said everything. Let's go back to the word now. Then the same day, that was just wild. Wasn't it? It just wasn't once, it was twice. So God confirms everything by two or three witnesses. That tongue's got nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing. It's the Spirit's church. Getting warmed up. There you go, sis. That's good. I'll receive that. All right. Okay, John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. Does it say the doors were shut? Did they say there was an exit door? So there's only one door, two doors. Doesn't say the windows were open. Doesn't say there were any windows. Just says the doors were shut. Okay? Does someone want to be an example and try to walk through a shut door right now? No? Okay. That's all I'd ask. Where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. See, the enemy has kept the church in fear of the supernatural. We don't understand it. We don't want nothing to do with it. That must not be of God. The enemy can only duplicate. He can't create what God has done. I said he can only duplicate. He can't create. Never had a creative idea in his life. Okay? Where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Whoa, the doors were shut. How did Jesus get into the room where they were at? Okay. Now, let's pick up the story in Luke. I don't know if you ever caught what I said in my previous teachings, that when you find a word or a verse in the Bible, you have to match it in the Bible. Okay? It was number three. Did anybody else hear that? It's number three. Okay. You have to match it. And usually there's more than one match. There's several matches, but you have to match at least one. Two witnesses, okay? So now let's go to Luke 24. We'll pick up the story. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon Peter. And they told what things were done. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Mary remained at the tomb. That's where I forgot. Peter and John take off. The woman stays at the tomb, and Jesus appears in another form to her. She thinks he's the gardener. She's the most intimate disciple, other than John, with Jesus, and she can't recognize him. Why couldn't she recognize him? He must have been in a different form. She thinks he's the gardener. As soon as he says her name, she's, Jesus. Wow. Okay. Amen, sister. Mother, sorry. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself, here it is, stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Are you ready for this? But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. Or did they? They were terrified they saw a spirit on the waters, and it was Jesus walking by. Now he's standing right in front of them and they think he's a spirit. Star Trek. How many are Star Trek fans? It's kind of the best example I can come up with. I'm an old school Star Trek fan. I mean, the new ones are all right, the movies, but the old school. William Shatner and those guys. If you ever watched, if you haven't, go on YouTube and watch it. Type in transporter room. So on the ship, the only way they can get from the ship to the planet was either taking a shuttle or going into the transporter room. Now most in the church today, the whole church, in the supernatural take a shuttle. They take a shuttle to everything. But there are some that get transported. All right, so here's the transporter room. You ready? If you don't know what it is. Like that enclosure. They walk into an enclosure, and there's a guy at the transporter table. And he moves a couple of knobs, and they're in solid form. But all of a sudden, their molecular structure starts to change. And they start to become invisible. And then they vanish. And then they go by way of transport to the planet, touch down on the planet, begin to reappear in molecular form until they're solid form again and they're on the planet. Why don't you go in the Spirit's transporter room and get transported somewhere? That's a natural example of a spiritual principle. How else could Jesus pass through the door, sis? I stepped into the transporter room, bro. Beam me up, Holy Spirit. That's probably why they were freaking out. Because they, at first, they thought it was a spirit. But as they waited, Jesus, you know, he comes into the manifestation of a man. Right? Okay, watch this. Okay, seriously. If you want to refute me right now and tell me I'm wrong, I will receive it. But explain to me how you're going to get through a natural barrier in a natural form. How are you going to do that? Transfiguration. Transfiguration, sis. You obviously have to change form. Now watch. Jesus says, behold my hands and my feet, that as I myself handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. Wow. Dude, forget crowded airlines today, bro, with what's going on. I think I might just go in the spiritual transporter room and go to get where I need. Because if I told you stories that I know of that are true and it happened, I don't know if you would receive it. But I'm receiving the word. Because you were created a spirit. You have... If you will walk in the spirit, you will walk on water. I said, if you will walk in the spirit, you will walk naturally on water. The storms will not begin to toss you to and fro. They won't begin to grab your leg and pull you down and start making you sink. The winds will not knock you off balance. You'll just be walking over the natural because you're a spiritual being in a natural body and you have dominion to subdue that storm. You can walk above the storm. You don't have to sink in any storm. But you have to determine to walk in the Spirit and stay in the Spirit. All right. Now, this is the grand finale. If that wasn't enough, I'm going to show you now in the New Testament from Genesis 1:26, let us make man, create man in our image, that Jesus confirms. Okay? Ready? I'm going to show you where Jesus proves Genesis 1:26 here in the New Testament. You ready? Man, are you really ready? Yeah. Whew, this is so good. Jeez. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And I'm almost done, by the way, so. Spirit's not done. And he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, wow, that would be a new way to have altar time, wouldn't it? Can I pray for you, bro? I know you can hear that, but I do have snot in my nose. But. And put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw anything. And the blind man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, I've heard this preached a number of times. It's, see, I've even preached it. I was wrong. See, when you're praying for the sick or people, keep stepping out in faith because even Jesus had to pray twice for this blind man to see. That's not true. Jesus was not praying for a lack of faith with this blind man. Jesus did not have a lack of faith. I said Jesus did not have a lack of faith. The disciples did, but when they came to Jesus, the Father asked him, could you do this if you have faith? And Jesus said, what do you mean if I have faith? Bring him to me. Because my disciples couldn't do it. And then Jesus did it. No. Questions 1 and 2 now. This is the end. How does a blind man know what men, plural, men look like. How does a blind man know what a tree looks like? But now listen. After the second time he prays, he says, he saw every man, singular, clearly. Genesis 1. In the image created he man, male and female created he them. I see men walking as trees. After the second, I see every man clearly, singular. Spiritual, then natural. Okay? Watch this. Go to Isaiah 61. I'm going to read verse 3. Now, if you back up verses 2 and 1, this is what Jesus read in the synagogue when they wanted to throw him over the cliff. This is what he was reading. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. All right, but let's go to verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. What were they called? What did the man see? What was Jesus restoring first in the man? Catching on. His spirit. Because he was a spiritual being. And once his spirit was restored, his natural sight was restored, and he saw every human man clearly. That's where Jesus demonstrates Genesis 1. Walking in the Spirit. Now you have understanding of what it really means to walk and live in the Spirit, because you were first created a spirit being. You have to operate out of your spirit. And your spirit and the Lord's spirit are one spirit working together. Now, if the church really gets this revelation, everything will change in the world. Everything will change in the world. Everything will change in the world, and the world will run to the church, because everything is spiritual and they will have the answer for the world. Okay. I want to pray this over you this morning. If you want to stand, you can. If you can't stand, that's fine. Now, I told you that this is a gift. It's got nothing to do with me. If the word is bearing witness to you by the Spirit, then just run with it, okay? You can call me all kinds of names after the service is over. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I know and believe the word. Paul prays this for the Ephesian church. I want to pray it for you. So right now, Father, I pray for the encounter that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, Jesus. And that their eyes of their understanding now have become enlightened. that they would know what is the hope of their calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, to walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. So be blessed today. Go and walk in the Spirit. Go walk through a few doors or a few walls. Or take a trip somewhere and come back.